Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. The government shutdown's now 3 weeks in and no signs of it ending anytime soon. Democrats digging in on their demand that Republicans repeal Medicaid cuts and extend health care subsidies that will soon expire, causing insurance premiums to rise for millions of Americans. And SNAP food benefits may end for many Americans at the beginning of November.
President Trump says he won't meet with Democrats until they first reopen the government. This shutdown now tied for the second longest ever. The longest ever, 35 days during President Trump's first term.
ABC's Mary Bruce. President Trump is pressing for his Justice Department to pay roughly $230 million as a settlement to him for investigations he faced during the Biden administration and his first term in office. Late Tuesday, federal agents, including ICE, launching a crackdown in New York City's Chinatown, multiple people detained. This just hours after Homeland Security officials and a suspected undocumented immigrant were both shot and wounded in a targeted traffic stop in Los Angeles. This is ABC News. A new study published in the British Journal of Sports Medicine suggests you may need fewer than the typical 10,000 steps to lower risks to your health. ABC's Michelle Franzen explains.
Researchers at Mass General Brigham say as little as 4,000 steps a day, three or more times a week, may reduce your risk of early death by up to 40% and lower your heart risk by 27%. The study tracked more than 13,000 women 62 and older for a week between 2011 and 2015 and then monitored them for more than a decade. They even found women who walked 4,000 steps once or twice a week had a 26% lower risk of death. The findings, part of an observational study, and excluded anyone with prior cardiovascular disease or cancer and did not consider other factors such as diet.
The Louvre Museum's president appears before France's Senate Culture Committee in a few hours to answer questions about how the French crown jewels were stolen over the weekend. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
The future for Luke Fickell. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. The Wisconsin Badgers play the number 6th-ranked Oregon Ducks. Saturday night in Eugene, the Badgers are 2-5. Losing 5 games in a row, Luke Fickell was asked if he knows yet if he'll be back next year at Wisconsin.
No, I don't think any of us have a crystal ball. I've never asked the question. It's not something that I can dwell upon. It's not something that I can't tell you that it's not something that doesn't you don't think about.
Chris McIntosh, the Badgers athletic director, releasing a statement saying Wisconsin remains supporting Fickell in his role as the head football coach. NFL, the Packers play the Steelers in Pittsburgh Sunday night. Linebacker Isaiah McDuffie on what he was most proud of in their win over Arizona.
You know, that's what we've been talking about since the start of the season, you know, just finishing. Finishing throughout the entire week. That's what we emphasized, and, you know, we got the opt to finish, and we did it.
That's linebacker Isaiah McDuffie with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy, breezy, and colder night with lows in the upper 30s to 40. Mostly cloudy and cold tomorrow, a high only in the mid-40s. Sunny for Thursday, a high near 50. Temps continue to warm up through the rest of the week into the weekend. It's 42 right now.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Robert Kennedy Jr. says America is under-babied. What can we do to encourage more Americans to become parents? Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Maybe what's happening at the school board needs to be disrupted.
Jim Santel and Joan Esposito, the Wisconsin teacher losing their job because of a social media post. The teacher's tweet disrupted the district's operations.
Judge says that overcomes the right of the teacher to speak publicly.
What if this were 60 years ago and she were putting up a post about desegregating the school?
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinair on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
They wish to break the entire thing. That is the objective. It isn't about efficiency. It's about breaking it. And it's about breaking it for what end?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Gerrymandering is bad for everybody.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I'm grossly discouraged, and I have given up on any justice in our system. It doesn't exist anymore.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. Keep hope alive. We're doing it every day from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on this program. Remember, you can find us wherever you get your favorite podcasts. If you miss our live broadcasts, you can find those at civicmedia.us/shows, of course, on Apple Pods as well as Spotify. And tell all of your friends in the southeastern Wisconsin area, we've got a brand new Big FM channel, 100.3 FM. You can hear us clear as a bell. So join us every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. because we get to talk to incredibly unheralded heroes and thinkers and researchers like the gentleman that is my very next guest. Now, I am happy to report that he is no longer unheralded. He is one of Wisconsin's two MacArthur Grant Foundation award recipients this year. His name is Angel Adames Koralitza. I hope I got that mostly right. He is the UW-Madison Associate Professor and Chair of the Climatology, Atmospheric, and Ocean Sciences. That is the Ned P. Smith Distinguished Chair. Want to give those donors their due who established the endowed chairs. Congratulations, Angel, and welcome to the show. I'm so extremely happy for you. Quite an honor you've received.
Thank you. It feels like I've been transported to a completely different dimension, but it's a great pleasure to be here.
It's a good dimension to be in. Folks, if you're unfamiliar with the MacArthur Foundation, they give these fellowships out every year. They go to writers and artists, social scientists, hard scientists, teachers, business owners, entrepreneurs, a whole wide range of folks. And to be considered for this, you're nominated anonymously, which, as I understand it, you get a random phone call, and sometimes they even have to engage in a little cloak and dagger to get people to pick up these calls so that the MacArthur Foundation folks can be like, you just got a great big fellowship to help you study what is your life's work. How did they let you know about your award? And did you have any idea that this was happening?
No idea that this was happening. I was definitely one of those cloak and dagger people. I was tricked. I got an email from them that they wanted to talk to me about tropical weather and climate because of some stuff that they were doing. And so I had no idea what was going on. I told my partner, I got nervous because I was like, oh, it's the MacArthur Foundation. They must be doing something serious. But I didn't think that I was going to be a fellow. And it's funny, my partner told me, it's like, oh, did she just give you money? you know, and I was like, oh, but I just don't think that's what's going to happen. I think that they're just doing some kind of nonprofit thing and just want to talk to me. But it turned out when I got the phone call that they were going to give me the fellowship and I was coming with money, and I was like, what? And my brain melted. I don't remember anything else, to be honest with you.
What an incredibly amazing phone call to get. These fellowships are $800,000. It is no strings attached money. It is given to these folks. Again, there's this major anonymous nomination process. They go through all of these panels of review, and it's basically to help people, again, pursue their life's work in these given fields. And again, you have to be extraordinarily talented. You have to have creativity. It is really an acknowledgement of not just your work to date, but your potential as a major contributor to basically, and I don't mean to sound too metaphoric about this, to human understanding and collective knowledge. So again, Angel, like, congratulations from the bottom of my heart. I was so thrilled to see that two Wisconsin researchers got the grant this year.
Yeah, it's been crazy. And I understand that I think University of Wisconsin is the only institution that got two this year. So yeah, props to us. We're great.
Quite an honor. The University of Wisconsin, Madison, my alma mater, it's an R1 research institution. It is so well known for so many areas of study. And it really, it's a credit to everyone who calls themselves a Wisconsinite. Thank you for pointing out the fact that UW-Madison stood alone in this grant award cycle as a university that had two recipients. Tell folks a little bit about what your area of expertise is and what you have been researching and studying.
Yeah, so in short, I am a tropical meteorologist. I study the weather and climate of the tropical latitudes. And I'm actually one of maybe a handful of scientists who does theory observations and also looks at model output. So I do a lot of the math and physics of trying to understand what drives tropical weather patterns, everything from the clouds all the way to the planetary scale. You name it, I probably looked at it.
Well, and the interesting thing here is, you know, I was reading recently, and I'm going to just specifically talk about weather forecasting for a moment. We're going to bring it back to your area of study in a moment. You know, weather folks get this tongue-in-cheek, oh, they get it right, maybe they get it right half the time. Turns out, at least in the before times, weather forecasters got it right about 80% of the time, which I think is really key. And in this age of climate change, where we're seeing weather patterns and climate-related events, natural disasters, things that folks have to prepare for, happening much more frequently and with much greater acuity, researchers like yourselves, as well as the meteorology, are really hand in hand to try to help people not be caught off guard by these things. And I wanted to just briefly ask you, how impactful is one of these MacArthur Genius Grants for a researcher like yourself? This administration has been ruthless in basically attacking research as well as federal grants that help fund research in our institutions of higher education, both private and public. This must be a life changer in terms of what you can pursue in your given area of expertise.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think in different times, this would have been like, it still is a shock, right? But like, I think in previous times, like, it would have been somewhat different in that, like, it would have opened to a lot of new windows for things. But the reality is that in the current era that we're in, before I got the call, my plans were to just cut back on my research because the funding isn't there. I hadn't gotten any grants removed. I've known other people that have, but I didn't see the point in applying for grants when you know that the money is not going to be there, or that they were just going to find a way to like not give it to you anyways. And so I was planning on rolling back and kind of going into like hibernation mode. And so now I get to stand privileged amongst many of my colleagues because I can actually continue doing the research because now I got the MacArthur Fellowship. But the reality for the majority of weather and climate scientists is that the amount of money is getting cut back. You know, I mean, you can always hope that things are going to change and it won't be as bad, but it looks bad, you know, and it's been bad. And now I can explore. I still am thinking of exploring new ideas, but the plan was to cut back, and now I'm not going to cut back. And that's really what's going to happen.
Thank goodness for that. I'm so happy to hear that for you. But I remain extraordinarily worried for us, literally all of us, because this is the type of, again, innovation, ingenuity, the creativity, moving into new areas, expanding knowledge base, expanding those research areas that are basically now in peril. And folks, if you're just joining us, let me just reset a bit. We're with one of the University of Wisconsin-Madison's two MacArthur Genius Grant Award recipients for this year. It is given to people who have both established themselves in their life's work, but also show incredible promise and creativity for future developments. It is a life-changing amount of money. It is no strings attached. It lets people do what they do best in various areas of study. His name is Professor Angel Adames Koralitza. Again, he's an associate professor at UW-Madison focusing on climatology. You mentioned something that I thought was really interesting. I don't think many people understand the mathematics, the physics that go into an area of study like yours, as well as just basic meteorology and forecasting. It is all math. It is all very complex models. Tell us a little bit about that in as much of layperson approachable terms, and how this helps us understand and prepare for the impacts of climate change, weather readiness, the applications that actually impact folks' lives.
Yeah, so let's talk about like the weather forecasting models, right? Because I think that's the stuff that's more tangible to people.
Yes.
Because that's the stuff that you look at your phone, you get up, you look at the forecast, right? So forecasts are actually made by what we call weather forecasting models. They're like computer code. And they're usually run on the world's most powerful computers. Like, it takes that much power to run a weather forecast model because the planet is incredibly complex. Clouds are incredibly complex. Winds, pressure, all these things are complicated. They're interacting with each other. So it takes a ton of computer power in order to create a weather forecast. Same with a climate forecast. So all these models that are trying to tell us how our climate is changing, they're run in our strongest, most powerful computing systems on Earth. So what I do is that I try to extract what are like the basic processes that might control certain phenomena, for example. So how can we distill this to the most basic things so they can inform us as to what things are important so they can go back to the community, educate the community so they know what are the patterns that they should be looking out for, but also talk with the people who are running the models and doing the code building so we can get ideas on how to improve forecasts or improve climate projections.
One way to put this, and Angel, correct me if I am wrong, is you are one of the scientists and data scientists and physicists that help build the AI models so that the AI model is better. I think people think of AI as this like thing that exists, but you have to build it and you have to train it so that it produces robust outcomes. Your work helps feed that, helps us build those better AI models that helps all of us look at our phone and know whether it's going to rain or snow tomorrow. Is that too dumbed down? I don't want to do your work any disrespect. You are a MacArthur genius after all.
No, so actually, so the AI stuff is all new, right? It's been the
yes.
latest revolution in numerical weather prediction. It's way faster than the numerical models that take like enormous computer power that I was like, talking about. These are things that can run extremely fast and efficiently, but they need to get trained with data. And so the stuff that I study, and I was actually at a conference earlier this year in Thailand because people in Southeast Asia are trying to build their own AI model, and they want to know what to train their AI models on. So they're bringing the people who kind of study the physical processes and be like, these are the key variables. You know, these are the key fields that you want to look at to maximize, you know, getting the most out of your training, for example. So even though I don't do any AI myself, I interact with the people who do the forecasting and help them understand what are the things that they should be looking at most carefully.
It's such incredibly important work. We're going to review some most recent headlines. We're also going to review what one of South Florida's most beloved meteorologists said just a few months ago about whether or not his viewers can continue to rely on his weather forecasts and why it remains important for all of us to encourage our federal government to fund researchers like my special guest, Professor Angel Adames Corralitza of the UW-Madison Climate Department, and again, MacArthur Genius Grant Award recipient. Don't go anywhere. Our conversation.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the Recombobulation Area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Paul Jaconi Berry and Sean Hannish back with another great Wisconsin sports film. No Packers, no life.
Sean came across No Packers, No Life at the Wisconsin Film Festival and said, you got to see it. We got to see if we can do something. This movie is just such a great opportunity to really see the impact of Wisconsin culture halfway around the world in Japan. It is just so magical and joyful. Yeah. So I encourage everybody to come take a look.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. Boy, my Tuesday is flying by. I love talking to smart people. We have got a literal genius with us for the rest of this half hour. His name is Professor Angel Adames Corralitza. He's with the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He is their Ned P. Smith Distinguished Chair of Climatology, Atmospheric and Ocean Studies. As I noted, he is one of UW-Madison's two, count them, two MacArthur Genius Grant Award recipients for this year. I will begin again with my congratulations to you, Angel. And before the break, I promised our listeners that I would just review a handful of headlines just from October that are talking about impacts of climate. This is from the AP, October 14th. Rare October storm in Southern California prompts evacuations and causes freeway accidents. October 15th, also at the AP. La Nina conditions observed in the Pacific. It could cause a snowy winter in the Midwest. The Guardian, October 16th. Carbon dioxide from wildfires increases by 9% as climate change supercharges infernos. WAPO on October 16th, one of Alaska's biggest air shifts is now underway after massive storm. I talked about that yesterday a bit. Houston Chronicle, October 16th, cold front arrives in Houston on Tuesday. Here's how far temperatures could drop. And the UN agency says CO2 levels hit record high last year, causing more extreme weather. Wanted to play a brief clip of one of South Florida's most beloved meteorologists who's been on the TV for 34 years. This is a guy that everybody knows. They would recognize him on the street. They trust him. Listen to what this guy said about this administration's cut to research, cuts to NOAA, and basically attack on science.
As you've grown accustomed to my presentations over my 34 years in South Florida newscasts, confidently, I went on TV and I told you, it's going to turn. You don't need to worry. It is going to turn. And I am here to tell you that I am not sure I can do that this year. Because of the cuts, the gutting, the sledgehammer attack on science in general, and I could talk about that for a long, long time, and how that is affecting the U.S. Leadership in science over many years, and how we're losing that leadership, and this is a multi-generational impact on science in this country, all right? But specifically, let's talk about the federal government cuts to the National Weather Service and to NOAA. Did you know that Central and South Florida National Weather Service offices are currently basically 20 to 40% understaffed? From Tampa to Key West, including the Miami office, 20 to 40% understaffed. Now, this type of staffing shortage is having impacts across the nation because there's been a nearly 20% reduction in weather balloon releases, launches, that carry those radio sons. And what we're starting to see is that the quality of the forecasts is becoming degraded.
We're going to post a longer clip of that in our show notes for today so people can look at it. Angel, if you will you explain to people what's going on with the weather balloons, if you don't mind? And secondly, that there is actually an international consortium of what I'm going to call weather and climate scientists that work together on these massive forecasting models. Tell us a little bit about how all this works.
Yeah, so the cuts of the weather balloons, so the weather balloons are made with hydrogen and with latex, and they have all these instruments called the radio sondes. They're actually quite pricey. So you have to have a decent budget in order to access them. So getting funds cut for them means that you can't actually send as many. And they're this essentially the backbone of our weather forecast models, because they're the observations that go into our weather forecasting model. So they're like the ground truth. We also use satellite data. The satellite data is the biggest amount of data that we have, but we calibrate our satellite data with radio sounds observations too. So losing that is a big loss. The speaker didn't talk about the potentially even bigger problem that we're going to start losing our satellite constellations, which is the backbone, again, like I said, also the backbone of weather forecasting. And there's no plans to replace a lot of these satellites either.
It's so shocking to me. It's just the absence of the information. I've bemoaned the fact that we still talk about 100-year and 1,000-year floods based on data and modeling from the 70s, that those words don't have any meaning anymore. This is sort of like the latest iteration. We've got about 2 minutes left. On Helen, if you're just joining us, we're with one of Wisconsin's two MacArthur Genius Grant Award recipients. He is Associate Professor Angel Adames-Koralitza out of UW-Madison. Talk to the people out there. Tell them why what you do and what scientists do writ large is so important to public health, safety, and wellness overall in every state of the union.
I mean, what I do is just learn, right? And write what we learn and set it out. Our money is using taxpayer, we pay with using taxpayer money. You know, everybody deserves knowledge, like it shouldn't be something that's prevented from being part of everybody's knowledge base. What I try to do is to communicate what I know, what I understand, and use that knowledge to improve weather and climate forecasts. So ultimately, I don't have an agenda, right? Like my agenda is to do my work, and the outcome of my work is to improve people's lives, So that's what it is. We try to make people's lives better by doing research.
Yeah, we make people's lives better by following research, by doing good research, by doing good objective science. That is how we make, whether it's forecasting models or flood risk reduction, floodplain models, robust and vigorous. And that benefits us all. That's why we need federal dollars supporting them. But Angel, personally, I am so glad and so proud to be from the state where you do your research, and so proud and happy for you that you are indeed a genius. I would love to have you back. We can talk about academia. We can talk more about your research, but congratulations to you, friend.
Oh, yeah. Happy to chat anytime. Just feel free to contact me once again. This has been a great pleasure.
Wonderful. When we come back, folks, I'm going to dig into Donald Trump not really giving a whit about farmers, but $20 billion, maybe $40 billion for Argentina. Make it make sense. Keep listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. The government shutdown's now 3 weeks in and no signs of it ending anytime soon. Democrats digging in on their demand that Republicans repeal Medicaid cuts and extend health care subsidies that will soon expire, causing insurance premiums to rise for millions of Americans. And SNAP food benefits may end for many Americans at the beginning of November.
President Trump says he won't meet with Democrats until they first reopen the government. This shutdown now tied for the second longest ever. The longest ever, 35 days during President Trump's first term.
ABC's Mary Bruce. President Trump is pressing for his Justice Department to pay roughly $230 million as a settlement to him for investigations he faced during the Biden administration and his first term in office. Late Tuesday, federal agents, including ICE, launching a crackdown in New York City's Chinatown. Multiple people detained. This just hours after Homeland Security officials and a suspected undocumented immigrant were both shot and wounded in a targeted traffic stop in Los Angeles. This is ABC News.
The future for Luke Fickle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. The Wisconsin Badgers play the number 6th-ranked Oregon Ducks Saturday night in Eugene. The Badgers are 2-5, losing 5 games in a row. Luke Fickle was asked if he knows yet if he'll be back next year at Wisconsin.
No, I don't think any of us have a crystal ball. I've never asked the question. It's not something that I can dwell upon. It's not something that I can't tell you that it's not something that doesn't you don't think about.
Chris McIntosh, the Badgers athletic director, releasing a statement saying Wisconsin remains supporting Fickle in his role as the head football coach. NFL, the Packers play the Steelers in Pittsburgh Sunday night. Linebacker Isaiah McDuffie on what he was most proud of in their win over Arizona.
You know, that's what we've been talking about since the start of the season, you know, just finishing throughout the entire week. That's what we emphasized, and, you know, we got the opt to finish, and we did it.
That's linebacker Isaiah McDuffie with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Michael Fassbender will play Joe Kennedy in a new Netflix show from Chernin Entertainment. According to Variety, the show is called Kennedy and will be based on Frederick Longval's book, JFK, Coming of Age in the American Century. The logline for the show is a bit lengthy, but says it will reveal the intimate lives, loves, rivalries, and tragedies that shaped the most iconic dynasty in modern history and helped create the world we live in today. Beginning in the 1930s, the first season charts the improbable ascent of Joe and Rose Kennedy and their 9 children, including rebellious son, Jack, who struggles to escape the shadow of his golden boy, older brother. Whew, it was a mouthful. The Kennedys have provided, along with a lot of tragedy, a lot of fascination from Americans. There will be 8 episodes in the first season. The series will most likely drop in 2027. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy, breezy, and colder night with lows in the upper 30s to 40. Mostly cloudy and cold tomorrow, a high only in the mid-40s. Sunny for Thursday, a high near 50. Temps continue to warm up through the rest of the week into the weekend. It's 42 right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
30,000 Wisconsinites could be priced out of ACA insurance completely. Former Assistant Secretary for Commerce and Economic Development, Alejandra Castillo. What's the off-ramp here?
If you haven't called your member of Congress, you need to. The off-ramp can only be individuals like you and I calling our members of Congress and demanding that both the White House and Congress begin to negotiate a real solution.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
A very funny stand-up comic, Mr. Mike Toomey. The last time I saw a Goldie Hawn film in the theater, the male lead was giving her a foot massage, and it was the worst foot I've ever seen. I actually said out loud, I went, ew. And my aunt started cracking up.
Yeah, maybe they could have had a stand-in, like a stunt foot.
Or please, something. Even if it's a guy's foot, I don't care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome No Packers, No Life director Craig Benzine and Northeast Wisconsin native son and the writer-director of a movie currently in theaters called The Twits, Phil Johnston. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're rejoining me. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I so love talking to nerds, and I mean that with a lot of love and respect. Big, big thank you to the professor from UW-Madison, who is just a recipient of their MacArthur Foundation Genius Grant, Angel Adames Corraliza. Thank you so much for making us all a little bit smarter. Suffice it to say, it should be a nonpartisan thing to fund good research at the university level. It should be a nonpartisan thing that you can't use the IRS to target your political enemies. It should be a nonpartisan thing that we probably should be spending more money studying climate and meteorology and not less. But, you know, so much for common sense. Listen, Donald Trump, in his campaign and in his inaugural address, constantly uses this phrase, this claim that he puts America first. He said this in his second inaugural address back in January. During every single day of the Trump administration, I will very simply put America first. That's not true. What he should have said is, I will put myself and my interests first, and I will break my oath to uphold and defend the Constitution every day. That would have been more accurate. But that's what he said. And so when you talk to small business owners and farmers about what the Donald Trump tariff terror taco nonsense is doing to them, it's not good. And farmers don't want bailouts. They just want to sell their crops. So the Trump administration has just pledged $20 billion U.S. taxpayer dollars, in other words, reached into your pocket, took some of the money that you made, and is now just giving it to Argentina. We can get into the whys in a moment, but I wanted to take a breath because, again, here's what he said. During every single day of the Trump administration, I will very simply put America first. So a reporter on Air Force One asked him about that and the $20 billion boondoggle giveaway to Argentina. And listen to how he responds.
The question is, what do you have to say to U.S. farmers who feel that the deal is benefiting Argentina more than it is them,
Argentina's fighting for its life, young lady. You don't know anything about it. They're fighting for their life. Nothing's benefiting Argentina. They're fighting for their life. You understand what that means? They have no money. They have no anything. They're fighting so hard to survive. If I can help them survive in a free world, I happen to like the president of Argentina. I think he's trying to do the best he can. But don't make it sound like they're doing great. They are dying. All right? They're dying.
Young lady, you don't know anything about it. I'm trying to save them. I like their president. By the way, their president is kind of like a wannabe Trump. The next time some conservative calls me up on the horn and starts deflecting or disrespecting or disinforming, I'm going to be like, young man, because they're always men. Young man, you don't know anything about it. And see how that lands. If I can't say that to a caller, why does the president of the United States get to address a reporter who's asking a completely legitimate question that way? And make note, it's always I. And in addition, I think there might be a few other countries, Ukraine, where people are dying and fighting for their lives. If that's the decision rule, where are the Tomahawk missiles, Mr. President? Where's the massive aid package to Ukraine? It has nothing to do with the plight of Argentinians. It has everything to do with billionaire hedge funds who got over-levered into Argentina and now are standing to lose billions there unless the U.S. comes and props up the Argentinian currency. That's what it's about. It is only and ever about the freaking money and the billionaires. So he's taking out of your pocket to prop up the Argentinian currency to benefit the billionaire bro club. That's what's going on here. By the way, again, this is according to reporting by the New York Times. Last week, when Mr. Trump met with Javier Milei, the president of Argentina, to discuss the financial package that the Treasury Department has proposed, the president sounded a different tune. Just helping a great philosophy take over a great country, Trump said. Should we parse that a wee bit together, shall we? Just helping a great philosophy take over a great country. What great philosophy is this? Oh, by the way, this guy, Javier Milei, he's a Trump ally and a very, very, very far right, kind of alt-right conservative. So let's get this straight. I'm helping an alt-right Argentinian conservative birthed in my own image, quote, take over. It's weird what comes flying out of his mouth, isn't it? Like, oh gosh, he doesn't mean take over. There's supposed to be a debate. Yes, he means take over, because guess what he's doing here, folks? Taking over, violating the Constitution every day. Take over a great country. Then he went on to this insightful, like uber intelligent breakdown of the delicate economic situation that's been plaguing Argentina for what? Oh, by the way, decades. Argentina is one of the most beautiful countries that I've ever seen. And we want to see it succeed. Very simple. Very simple. It's my beautiful country. Again, if this is the decision line or the decision rule, there's beautiful countries all over the place. Note what he's not talking about. He's not talking about what's wrong with the peso. The day after this meeting, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent doubled down on the administration's commitment to Argentina, which is heavily indebted, perennially troubled. This has been going on with the Argentinian peso, again, for decades. It goes back to the time that I was in graduate school in the late 90s. And why would we care about the Argentinian peso? To put this in perspective, the U.S. exported a measly $16.5 billion worth of goods and services to Argentina. We're just going to give them $20 billion. They can just buy our goods back from us. We'll just give them 20 bills. That's fine. $16.5 billion exported to Argentina last year, compared to $384 billion with Mexico and $80 billion with Brazil. And then Scott Bessent says, actually, he's cooking up an additional $20 billion, so $40 billion to Argentina. But this one is supposed to be financed by banks and investment funds rather than the U.S. taxpayer. But I want to just throw this out there for some debate and thinking. Banks and investment funds don't give money away for nothing. So, like, what's the collateral? Are they buying an interest in the Argentinian government? Are they buying pesos? Well, what happens if the peso continues in its free fall and inflation explodes and then, you know, goods disappear and there's bread lines and sort of riots in Argentina? How are they? Like, again, I don't know banks and investment funds, read hedge funds, to just give away billions of dollars. They usually want something in return. So I wonder if the U.S. banks and hedge funds' additional $20 billion in investment, air quotes, I don't know what they're investing in, announced by Treasury Secretary Bessent, I wonder if that goes completely south. In other words, it blows up, it doesn't start the stop the Argentinian peso's free fall. I wonder if the Trump administration might again help out the billionaire boys club. And it just, I'm just asking questions here. By the way, the president of Argentina has appeared at CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Committee, like annual, their big annual jamboree. This is the guy that gave the chainsaw to billionaire bro of billionaire bros, Elon Musk. It's this guy. By the way, I think Elon Musk and Sean Duffy, the transportation secretary, are not on good terms, not going well. Elon Musk, I think, just called him Sean Dummy instead of his name, Sean Duffy, just as a little aside. Here are some of the policies of the president of Argentina that ultimately has led their economy into a death spiral. See if any of this sounds familiar. Massive spending cuts across Argentina's federal government, slashing public pensions, firing thousands of public sector workers, slashing programs that help folks in poverty or in need. Does any of that sound at all vaguely familiar? I don't know how to emphasize how incredibly foolhardy and stupid this is. And lest any conservative get on the phone and call me up about the investment that the Clinton administration made in Argentina back in 1995. It was to Mexico in 1995. It's because of the trading relationship with Mexico. It also went through a whole vetting process through the Exchange Stabilization Fund. It's very different. It also involved the IMF, which is the International Monetary Fund, back in 1995. It's very different. Here's what the former chief economist at the IMF said about this boondoggle, this billionaire boys club giveaway funded by U.S. taxpayers that's ostensibly about helping this beautiful country, Argentina, whether it's $20 billion, maybe it's $40 billion. Here's what he said, quote, "What's worrisome here is that Trump and Bessette are repeatedly saying that we will be there in Argentina for the long term and we will do whatever it takes. He is effectively saying to foreign investors, you will be able to get out whole. That means it's really $40 billion that U.S. taxpayers are on the hook for. What an abomination. I've saved the best for last. We got a little shutdown update coming up next. Don't go anywhere. We'll take your calls as well. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Also, Argentina, that's where all the Nazis went after World War II. Just saying. Stay tuned, everybody.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on air.
He is the executive director of Back 40 Action. Will Westmoreland is here. So, Will, we can't sell our soybeans. There's no market for that. But Brooke Rollins, Secretary of Agriculture, says it's all great. What are you hearing from fellow farmers?
Well, Jane, we are the world's leader in one Department of Agriculture now that Donald Trump is president and Brooke Rollins is Secretary of Agriculture, and that's word salad.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
They were it. That's the ballgame.
Adrian Klenz is executive director of the Center for Deafblind Persons. Those cuts, those programs would be rolled into something else. Is there a group deafblind children could be folded into?
There is no other program. Those seven individuals have the specialized training to help those with dual sensory loss. There's no one else in the state of Wisconsin that has that training.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, home of the Midwest Farm Report. Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.5 WLAK.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. We have reached the last segment of this Tuesday show. Boy, time flies when I'm hanging out with each and every one of you. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. One last, excuse me, little tidbit about the Argentina problem. So the $20 or $40 billion that we're giving Argentina, here's what reporting from the Wall Street Journal says. That's welcome news for American hedge funds that have been investing in Argentinian assets. One such hedge fund is Discovery Capital Management, founded by Robert Citrone. Okay, so keep in mind, Discovery Capital Management, Robert Citrone. At the end of last month, it was pointed out by a financial journalist that Citrone used to work with whom? Scott Bessent. Ah, yes. Back for years, starting in 2013. And whom did they both work for? George Soros, the boogeyman of conservative nightmares. after that reporting from this financial journalist about Scott Bessent's working relationship with Citrone, the guy that owns one of these major hedge funds that has taken this massive position in Argentina that Trump is now giving 20 or maybe 40 billion of taxpayer funds to help prop up a peso, even though Argentina only imports less than $20 billion in U.S. goods every year. But maybe it's because the guy is like a mini Trump in Argentina. Oh, and maybe because all of the Trump-style policies that that president put in place in Argentina did what? Crushed the middle class and tanked their economy, and now the Argentinian peso is in free fall? Okay, after all that came out, the New York Times then reported that Citrone was, quote, in close contact with Treasury Secretary Bessent in the lead-up to the Treasury announcement of the $20 billion taxpayer-funded bailout to Argentina when it was announced last month. So, you know, they were talking a little. I wonder what they were talking about. And again, I can't believe I'm saying this. Even Marjorie Taylor Greene got this one right. She's been posting on X, Americans are getting decimated with the high cost of living and skyrocketing insurance costs. Many of them have zero savings and some are maxing out credit cards to survive. Tell me how it's America first to bail out a foreign country with 20 or even 40 billion in taxpayer dollars. Pretty good question, Marjorie. Just saying. Troy from Mount Horeb, how you doing, friend? Welcome to the show. What you
hey,
got for us?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good, friend.
Good, good. So the Kansas City Star wrote an article, Kansas, Missouri farmers went big for Trump as tariffs are cutting them. So a friend of mine posted that on Facebook, and a friend of hers, as a farmer, I can tell you that it's categorically false. Commodity prices are nothing special, but there are no farmers out there blaming tariffs. And I said to him, well, they should blame the tariffs. They should be blaming the tariffs. And he said to me, no, sir, farmers are doing better right now than the majority of Biden's 4 years. Don't open your mouth about something you know nothing about. So
this is a farmer
up in El Dorado. So
yeah, it's amazing to me. Thanks, Troy. We've got sounds of farmers saying exactly the opposite. The collective delusion, right, that reinforces itself every day, that I can't get through when I talk to conservatives or when I try to text with them and I'm being specific about things and they're like, but Biden and the border, blah, blah, blah. If we can't actually look at the fact that soybeans are not being exported and talk about reality with farmers, if we can't talk about the facts, we can't talk about or at least say together, yes, these are the facts. Now let's argue about what to do about them, or maybe try to start with our values and what we want the world to look like and then deal with the facts and then have an argument about the hows. It's the delusion has permeated the ability to be able to have any meaningful political discourse. Again, I talked about this yesterday. It's why when I have debates with conservatives, they bounce from subject to subject. It's a litany of sort of grievances and things. But what about, it's all whataboutism. And we can't break through that right now. So a farmer who is objectively by any fact-based metric doing worse now than they were during the Biden administration, especially the last 2 years, and by the way, Biden was cleaning up the Donald Trump COVID mess, and the inflation mess. By the way, inflation peaked in, I believe it was June of Biden's first year on the job. Tell me whose inflation that is. Can't break through the delusion cycle. I'm not sure what to do about it except trying to get on the air with you folks every day and talk some facts. And here's the fact that we always need to remember. There's only one guy, one individual that is responsible for the shutdown, and it's this guy.
Who's going to bear the brunt of the responsibility if indeed there is a shutdown of our government?
Well, if you say who gets fired, it always has to be the top. I mean, problems start from the top and they have to get solved from the top. And the president's the leader and he's got to get everybody in a room and he's got to lead. You know, the interesting thing is in 25 years and 50 years and 100 years from now, when the government is, you know, they talk about the government shutdown, they're going to be talking about the president of the United States.
Of course they will, because according to Donald Trump himself, that's who is responsible. You got to come to the table. You got to bring the people together. You got to negotiate. You got to actually have a negotiation. It's hard to negotiate when you're in the middle of a delusion. Just saying. That's going to do it for me, folks. Stay tuned. We got a little Pete Schwabba nightlight coming up next. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together for the facts.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. The government shutdown is now 3 weeks in. Democrats digging in on their demand that Republicans repeal Medicaid cuts and extend health care subsidies that will soon expire, causing insurance premiums to rise for millions of Americans. Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer.
It's not me, him, or anything political. It's that the people are in crisis. Every day they're getting these bills, these notifications of how much they're going to pay.
Trump demanding the government reopen before any negotiations. President Trump is pressing for his Justice Department to pay him roughly $230 million. Sources familiar with the matter say it would be as a settlement for investigations he faced during the Biden administration and his first term in office. Vice President J.D. Vance arrived in Israel Tuesday seeking to stabilize the ceasefire agreement. Vance reiterating that no U.S. troops would be sent into Gaza while expressing confidence in the peace plan. This is ABC News.